A very happy holiday season to you all, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy lives to join in this conversation with Chancellor Jackie Maloney. I'm John Feudo, Vice Chancellor for University Advancement, and this is the third time we've held a phonecast conversation with Chancellor Maloney. Thus far, more than 5,000 alumni, parents, and friends have joined us for these discussions, and we're pleased to add you to this list. Tonight's phonecast has been limited to those of you who are members of our True Blue Society, loyal supporters who keep UMass Lowell in your hearts year after year. In gratitude for your dedication to the university, the Chancellor wants to share with you the good news from your university and a look ahead to what the future has in store for us. Tonight is truly a conversation, and we welcome your participation. Members of our team are on the phone now awaiting your questions. To ask a question, press 0 on your phone, and you will be connected to one of our staff members. We'll then take down your question and share it with the Chancellor as time permits. So please feel free to press 0 at any time and ask your question. It's now my pleasure to introduce our Chancellor, who last month beamed with pride as UMass Lowell was named the fourth top women-led business in Massachusetts. This coming Tuesday, she'll be honored by the Boston Business Journal as one of only 7 women who mean business. She is an inspiration, and she's here to chat with you tonight, our Chancellor Jackie Maloney.
Thank you, John, and thanks to all of you. It's hard to believe it was just a year ago when we held our first phonecast, and to be honest, we weren't really sure what to expect. But of course, as always, you've been just amazing, joining in, taking an interest in your alma mater. You cannot know how much this means to us. Thanks, too, for your ongoing support of the university and your membership in the True Blue Society. We're deeply grateful for your sustained giving, which makes a tremendous impact on our students. It's hard to believe, but this fall we welcomed an even bigger class than we did last year, 3,350 students, our largest and most diverse incoming class in the history of the university. And the average GPA, yes, that keeps going up too. For our incoming freshmen, it was nearly 3.6, and the average SAT score climbed to 1224. Our total enrollment now at UMass Lowell is well over the 18,000 mark. And our students are truly remarkable. Honestly, I'd love for you to meet every one of them because I know you would share our great pride in who they are, their stories, what they overcome to come to this university, and their accomplishments. Thanks to you, we were able to meet 90% of the financial need our students had last year. And I want you to know how grateful they are for the support that you have given them by enabling us to meet that need. Our faculty continue to make incredible breakthroughs every day with the cutting-edge research that they're doing. They are improving lives everywhere. Another impressive milestone is the Our Legacy, Our Place, the university's $125 million comprehensive fundraising campaign. It's already brought in more than $111 million in commitments to support scholarships, faculty recruitment and research, campus improvements, and of course, our Division I athletics program. Thanks again for joining us. None of these impressive accomplishments would be possible without all of you and your support and enthusiasm for the university. With that said, I'm happy to take your questions at this time. Thanks again for joining us.
And Chancellor, as people start calling in with questions, let me remind them that it will be easier for you to get through if you press *3. Press *3 on your phone to ask a question. And Chancellor, here's the first question, and that is, what inspires you this semester about our students and faculty as we wind down the fall semester?
Well, increasingly, as you look across the campus, morning, noon, and night, the place is buzzing with activities. And what's inspiring is the kind of work that they're engaging in. You look in engineering, they're doing, again, breakthrough work and everything. We just had a faculty member who got a grant to work with our philosophy department to help determine how the automatic cars, the self-driving cars, should make ethical decisions about how to drive. So looking at those kinds of real-world problems that our faculty and students are engaged in are what is truly inspiring to us.
Great. Well, we have our first call today, and it comes from Brian Latina, class of 1980. So, Brian, why don't you go right ahead and ask the chancellor your question. Brian? You still there? All right. Well, let's try. If we are not getting Brian on the phone, let's try Dave Cronin. Dave, let me go to you. All right. Well, we're going to keep moving along. James Van Beaver.
I have season tickets for the hockey team. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, James.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I have season tickets for the hockey team. I've had them for quite a while, but we've been going to more basketball games lately. I'm wondering if there's any plans of moving all the basketball games to the Saugus.
That's a great question. What do you think of the Saugus for the basketball venue?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it really is.
Isn't
great.
Isn't it terrific?
Yeah, it's tremendous.
How about the basketball team this year? What do you think of them?
They're very good. You know, I've been in about, I think, two games, you know, and we enjoy the games more at the Saugus, you know.
Yes. Well, yeah. You know, obviously our hope is to have most of the games played over at the Saugus Center as soon as possible. We're working right now on improving some of the athletic facilities to catch up and enable us to do that. I think as importantly, as you've seen at the Saugus Center, it's a big place.
It is.
What we need is to have more people like you getting those season's tickets and cheering on this team, because I think any of you who followed their last game, to be honest, I was there. And what a game it was against Loyola. They played their hearts out, and what really made a difference was the fans in the stand.
Yeah.
But, you know, the truth is all the coaches will tell you the same thing, Coach Bazin, Coach Duquette, all of them will tell you how our fans make a difference. They did that night. And so thank you for supporting the teams, and we'll have as many of the games there as soon as possible.
Thank you.
James, thank you. Let me see now if we can go back to Dave Cronin. Dave, I know you're there. Go right ahead and talk with Chancellor Maloney.
David Cronin here from Cognition Corporation in Lexington. We do medical device stuff. I have a son who's a senior. He loves it. And I, not so much of a question, but I wanted to make a shout out to James Canning. He's a guy who runs the Honors College. He is engaged with me as a business leader to help me find interns and employees. He's engaged where I put on tours of my company. He sends regular emails to students, to family, and people like me. He does trivia questions, which may sound kind of silly, but he gives me the best connection to UML that I have as both a business person and a parent. And I just want to encourage Jim and more like him. And I wish he could get a raise. So it was really more of a comment. But I just wanted to give my shout out to Jim Canning, who's really a shining star.
Thank you, Dave. We all really appreciate Dean Canning's hard work. He's amazing. For me personally, when I watch him, I wonder how he does it all and wish I had half of his energy because he does everything that you said and he does it all so well. But, of course, his great passion is for the Honors College. And you look at the Honors College, how it's grown, and, boy, those students really do make us proud with the work that they're doing. We've quadrupled the size of that Honors College, and I think it has made us a go-to place for very, very talented students who really care about the future of the Commonwealth and the nation and the world, and I think that's kind of the hallmark of honors and Jim Canning. So thank you for your comments, Dave. It's always good talking with you. Thanks for calling in.
Dave, we'll be sure to pass your kudos along to Jim Canning and also to make sure he knows that you were promoting him for a raise. And in the meantime, Chancellor, maybe we'll only take calls right now from people who want to suggest that you give me a raise. But maybe that'll only happen if I can bring Deborah Riley up on the phone live. Deborah, you're in Quincy, Mass., and you have a question for Chancellor Maloney.
Yes, good evening, Chancellor. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am a 1991 graduate of the university and a proud alum. I am a parent of a freshman who is a member of the Honors College and ROTC member. And my question is, what is the university, and not just UMass Lowell, but the entire UMass system doing to make sure that we continue to serve the middle class, in-state, working students that are there to get the education and may not be eligible for some of the scholarships that we all support, which I'm happy to do so. But what are we doing to continue to make sure we're serving those students that really are the core of what the UMass Foundation was meant to serve?
Sure. Deborah, thanks for calling in, and boy, you must be so proud as an alum now to have, you said it was your son?
Yes, my son is a freshman.
Congratulations. And so, and what a wonderful thing for him to have earned his way into the Honors College, which has become very competitive, as you know. So I'm sure you're very proud of him. And so I feel, honestly, we work very hard to make sure that the university remains accessible to all of our students. And we're working very hard, working with our alumni, to build more support for students that include merit-based scholarships. If you think about it, last year we gave close to $500,000 in merit-based scholarships in addition to any financial needs that we need. So what we're doing is we're working hard to raise funding to make sure that all of our students get the support they need to be successful and to make sure that this great university education is accessible to all of them. Did that answer your question, Deborah?
It does. Thank you, Chancellor. And again, I'm a proud alumni. My husband is a proud alumni of UMass Boston, and I just hope that the university continues to remember that those are the students that they, are serving and are able to do that.
Point well made, and it's something we care a lot and share your great passion for making sure that this university fulfills that very mission of serving the students of the Commonwealth.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for the call and for the support.
Deborah, thank you. Let's go back now to Brian Latina in Chelmsford. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Chancellor, I just wanted to congratulate you for the women's honor as a start. I think that's fantastic to be running such a large university is a handful, and to get that honor is pretty neat. I'm a 1980 business management graduate a lot of years ago, and I'm also chairman of the board at the Professional Center for Child Development in Andover. And I want to thank you for sharing your engineering students with the center. We have handicapped kids there, and the students do some of their capstone work with our kids. And I don't know if you're aware of that, but we also do some mentoring programs. I could use some OTs, PTs, and nursing students over there, maybe some senior class kids as well. My base question is the West Campus location. Just as an idea, I know the school is a leader in a lot of things and has been for ever since I graduated anyway. Would you consider partnering with Chelmsford, since the property's on their square footage, and maybe come up with a combination student and seniors affordable housing project there? Would you consider something like that, or could you look into it?
Well, that's a lot, Brian. Thank you for all those great comments. And so let me see if I could take them one by one.
Okay.
First, I want to go back to and thank you for your kind comments about the award that actually the university received. And why I'm so proud of that award, Brian, is that it really wasn't about me personally. It was really about this university being run like a business, being entrepreneurial in everything that we do. You know, Deborah made the comment earlier, how are we going to keep UMass affordable? One of the ways that we do that is by running the university with top-notch management, by being innovative, being entrepreneurial, being inclusive, doing all the things that you all want us to do. And it really reflects on the whole team, the whole university being engaged in that work. And so that's why that honor was so inspiring to all of us. And what John didn't mention, of course, what was really fun for us was going through that award as a university. It was the first time we made the top 100 list of the Boston Globe magazine of women-led businesses. And, of course, when they were calling out the names, we kept waiting for our name to be called because it was our first time and we were hoping to make the top 50. Well, we made the top 50 and then the top 25 and then the top 10, and then they were calling Bentley University and Harvard University before they called UMass Lowell. Harvard was 7, UMass Lowell was number 4. So it really was a very exciting award. So thanks for mentioning that. And I wanted to point out that we were able to beat out some of our competitors, and we're pretty proud of that. But then you also mentioned the capstone courses, and somebody had asked earlier what inspires us about our students, and honestly, that adaptive technology course that you referred to where the students go out and work with handicapped and disabled children all around the Commonwealth, helping them to find new ways to cope with their disabilities and the challenges, the physical challenges that they face, is certainly among the most inspiring. And I want to thank you and your team for welcoming our students, because it's incredibly important to us that we have partners like you that share their passion to make this kind of difference and welcome them into that world. Because for us, as you all know who are on this phone, the hallmark of the UMass Lowell education is that opportunity to have that hands-on learning that dovetails with your classroom learning. The adaptive technology program is just one example of that. We have thousands of them. But we need willing partners like what you did, Brian, in welcoming these students. So just I want to thank you for that. And then in terms of West Campus, we've actually been in conversations with the town of Chelmsford. For those of you who don't know, UMass Lowell was deeded several acres of property in the town of Chelmsford. At one time, it was home to our Graduate School of Education. It's been an abandoned property for most of the past 15, 20 years. The university, along with the state, is looking to dispose of the property actually as surplus property, and we've been working with the town to find a suitable use for that property for the town, especially for us as a university. I'm not sure you're aware, Brian, but we actually just expanded our student housing. We have a beautiful new residential complex, added 700 beds just this past year, right in the heart of our East Campus. And so for right now, we feel honestly for student housing, we're in a really good position. I mean, we're certainly always open to partnering with the towns and that kind of thing. It's not something that the town has expressed interest in, but I just want to assure you, we are working hand in glove with the town leaders to make sure that that property is put to good use.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian, thank you for your comments. Chancellor, we have a lot more questions on the board, but let me remind our listeners to press *3 if you would like to ask a question of Chancellor Maloney. And Chancellor, before we get back to the questions that are coming in from all over the country, there is one person that I know you'll want to speak with, all the way from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Pat McPhail, it's so good to hear from you, class of 1954.
Hey, Jacqueline.
Hi, Pat. How are you? How are
I am
in
wonderful, and I am so proud of everything that you're doing. It's
well,
just, you know, it's amazing, and it's amazing to see Lowell just continue to grow, and I know that you knew every step of every part of that school. You did everything that you could and worked all your way through, and they couldn't have a better person running the place.
Oh, Pat, thank you so much, and I want you to know how much it means to everyone here, and everyone on this call should know, when Pat McPhail comes to town, we all are much happier because we know how much she loves this university, and she just comes here and beams for days and makes us all feel a lot better about the work we're doing.
I'll have to tell you one little coincidence. My parents, my mother's family lived on Margin Street in Lawrence. Years and years and years ago, that was a French neighborhood at that point. And a couple of years back, I had a little girl who is Spanish from Margin Street. And I just considered that an amazing coincidence that I could have a child from the same street that where my parents had been.
That is a very small world.
Isn't
but it's
it?
Not surprising with somebody like you that you have a way of shrinking this world, Pat. Thank you so
well,
much.
Oh, I have a way of loving this world. I have to tell you, I have a granddaughter right now who's in law school in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So my kids, they're all over the country. Another one in medical school in Birmingham, Alabama. These are grandchildren. And then some here at USM. And so a son that teaches at Louisiana School for the Deaf, a son that teaches at the Alabama School of Math and Science. So we're all still involved in education. But that $37.50 a semester that I paid
was hard to believe.
It was hard to believe,
and you must be so proud of your family, Pat. And thank you for sharing them with us, too, because often when you travel, you have one or two of them in tow, and we love to see them all. Thank you so much for all you do, Pat.
Thanks, Pat. And a lot closer than Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Chancellor is James Lynn Paris in Methuen, Mass. And James is a class of 1990 grad. Go ahead.
Hi, Chancellor Mahoney. This is James Lynn Paris from 1990. I was on the committee for the College of Management and all the successes they were planning for the 50th anniversary of opening the Tong Center, which I screwed up on my introduction. I basically told the person who picked up the call, the Pulicino Tong Center. I hope I'm saying it correctly.
Yes, you are. Pulicino Tong. Yeah.
I want to hear some of the successes of these students and some of the experiences you felt with that new building, because back in 1987 through 1990, when I attended, the buildings, although they accommodated all of our needs at the time, I have an incoming freshman next year, and he was really anticipating, what we could see in that building. So can you give me a little bit of experiences you felt already since
James,
September?
I'm losing you. It's hard to hear you right now. Maybe could you speak a little more into the phone?
Yes, hold on a second. So I was wondering if you could speak on the experiences you're having with the Pulicino building and the students that are entering it right now and what their enjoyment is. Maybe the sophomores to the seniors, because they've already experienced life as I had it before.
It's definitely giving them a very different experience than we all had over in Pasteur Hall, that's for sure. No more leaky ceilings and buckets in the hallway. They are in a beautiful state-of-the-art building. James, as you know, the Pulicino Tong Center has put a real excitement in the air and a real sense of pride for our students and our faculty who are now in the kind of facility that they really deserve to be in. When you walk in that building with the Colella, the beautiful atrium, and then you walk across the building, and this was something that John Pulicino and Joy Tong had a strong say in helping us design the building, that they really wanted that open architecture feel and a lot of space for students to meet and collaborate, which you feel the buzz in the building the minute you walk in the door. Morning, noon, and night, the building is packed. wall-to-wall with students, doing everything that we hoped they would, working in teams, working with their faculties. It's just a sight to behold. So anyone
awesome
who hasn't
job.
Been back to see it, we want. And thank you for being part of that 50th anniversary. That was a great group of people that got us started on this
building.
It
got me reconnected, yeah. And that's what got me reconnected with the college back then. I'm working down in Lowell now. So, and when I drive by, you know, if I go out to Pawtuckaville, I admire the building. I really, it's a beautiful building. And as they continue to make improvements to the university, you're doing a great job. Marty Meehan, who you succeeded, has done a great job in putting life here in the city, because as I'm working downtown Lowell now, I experience it all. And I see the young youth coming downtown all the time. I see them being very cordial and happy to be at the university. So you're doing a great job.
Thank you. It's great to hear you share that great pride that we all feel in making the difference that we're making in this city, elevating the city with this beautiful architecture we're bringing to the city. And I love your comment about the students who are so polite. Is a good word to
yeah.
A good way
they're
to
open and friendly
it.
Throughout the city. I'm downtown, so I'm right by the high school, and I have a. I work for Madison Security. I work for Timmy Grover, who you know, and you've supported
mm-hmm.
him very much for his initiatives. And we'll partner with anything
you
do.
We just had lunch
awesome
with him
person.
Today, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to. Wanted to give him kudos. He's a great guy, and I appreciate all the work the university has done. And keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks for those great comments. They mean a lot.
Thanks,
to
Chancellor.
Us.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, James. Christopher Reynolds, you've been on for a while listening in, and you have a question as well, class of 2014.
Hi, Chancellor. Thank you for putting on this call. My question is, what do you think the biggest challenges that students are facing today, and what is the university doing to help address that challenge for them?
Thank you, Christopher, for that very, very important question. I think the biggest challenge that our students continue to face is to meet the rising cost of education. Again, going back to Deborah's comments earlier, I think we're all concerned about how we keep this great UMass Lowell education affordable, which becomes increasingly challenging as the state has been unable to support us as it has in past years. For many of us, like when Pat McPhail talked about when she went to school here, the state supported 80-85% in some cases of the education. So what the challenge has been is really moving the cost of that education onto students and their families who now cover more of that 80-85%. So that, I think, continues to be a big challenge. As you know, Christopher, not having graduated that long ago, maybe you did yourself, so many of our students continue to work as they go through college. So, of course, what we're doing about it, as I mentioned with Deborah, is continuing to raise money, especially to help students with merit support and scholarships. We're also, you know, we've redesigned the way we do things like work study and making them more like research co-ops so that students really are advancing their education while they're working and, again, getting that hands-on experience. And then I think finally, we've also partnered with a number of the local credit unions to do financial literacy for our students and their parents to help them plan on how to pay for the education. But I think the key is in helping them to find a way, helping to support them. Thank you, Christopher.
Christopher, thank you. And let me remind you again, it's *3 on your phone to be able to ask Chancellor Maloney a question. And while we're on the subject, Chancellor, of the cost of higher education, our friend Richard Siegel has a question about the potential implications of the tax reform bill that's in legislature right now. Richard, go right ahead.
Thank you. Jackie just can't quite seem to break away, so I'm pleased to be able to speak with you again, as always. And I'm sure you guys are following the tax plan very carefully, and given the university's attempt to become a very powerful research institution, doctoral students play a critical part in that, and the tax plan could really undercut our ability to attract and keep graduate students. I'm wondering if there is a a task force in place to begin to come up with possible solutions.
Richard, so great to hear from you. It's been too long. I miss you.
I'll see you at your party.
For those of you on the phone, Richard's been a very dedicated servant and generous contributor to the university. Richard is all things students and has worked tirelessly in his dedicated career to helping students and to advance our position, obviously, in the research area. So, Richard, back to your question on the tax. Obviously, we were stunned to see some of these things put forth in the tax plan and in the tax code. And we have, all of the chancellors with the president have written a very strong opposition to the proposal. I think we are going to have to really scramble to make sure that all of us are able to support our graduate students. But honestly, I don't think anyone has a clear path forward right at this time. I think we're still going to hope that this doesn't necessarily pass the way it was proposed. I hope that helps.
All right, and I'll give you one more reminder that it's *3 on your phone to be able to ask a question. And Chancellor, one of the things that I think does separate this university from so many others is the way we do care for our students. And one of the ways that we do that is through our support of veteran students. And Daniel Grealish is on the phone from Dedham, Mass., and he has a question about Veterans Affairs.
Hi, Chancellor. Thank you for taking my call. With being a alum from the class of 2014, I've been able to work with Sigma Phi Omicron, being an alumni of that group as well, and we've been able to raise quite a few dollars for our veterans through the Perishing Fund and through our Memorial 5K for our brother who was killed in action in Afghanistan. And we're just wondering what kind of initiatives is the university looking at in this upcoming year to help continue to support our veteran students and kind of what we can do to continue our support and to help them?
Daniel, thanks so much for calling, and thanks for all the work to SIGO and, of course, to the group that supports the Pershing Fund and for everyone who runs in the 5K race. And so for those of you on the call who may not be familiar, UMass Lowell has really positioned itself as a leader in our work supporting veterans as they transition back into the university. As you can imagine, there are a lot of challenges transitioning from military life into this university. And so some of the funds that we have been setting up, one in particular through the Pershing Fund, is really what they call a transition scholarship loan program where they help veterans where there are huge gaps in the services that are made available to them when they transition to education, that there have been loans and funds given to veterans that have need in making those transitions, supporting families, moving families, buying food, housing. And so I think the support that we're providing here is rich. As you know, we have a veterans office on campus, which is very, very active. And when we opened that office, I recognized how important this work was when a student veteran got up and said, "Thank you for opening this office. We've already saved lives here." So having these services in place are critically important. We have one of the largest military veterans, both active and veteran soldiers, enrolled at UMass Lowell, the largest in New England, and we continue to be a growing go-to place for our veterans because of the support we provide here. But thank you again for your attention to this important area, and thanks to all your brothers and colleagues for supporting our veterans this way.
Chancellor, another place where we show our support for students is through our student clubs and organizations. And I know you are a big fan of the Hockapellas. And Graham Allen from the class of 2016 is on the line to ask you a question about our student organizations. Go ahead, Graham.
How are you, Chancellor?
I'm doing fine, Graham. We miss you already, too.
Oh, I miss them. They actually just had their show the other night, and they premiered a new arrangement for Larry Siegel. So please tell him that he needs to get down there and see the boys. They're really excited to perform for him. Anyways, I'm calling you from my office at Quincy College at Plymouth. I'm actually working in the student life office down here now. And I wanted to ask you, as the student population continues to grow above 18,000, what is the university's plan to continue supporting student organizations in years to come?
Well, Graham, as we did with Hawkapella, we're going to just have to keep growing them, aren't we? Because actually our student organizations are such a great point of pride, as you know, for the university. What year did you start Hawkapella? It wasn't that long ago, was it?
So Hawkapella was founded in 2009, but I joined in 2012.
Okay. So, you know, we have about 200 active student clubs and organizations already on campus. They continue to grow. As many of you know, I meet with our student leaders every month along with our senior leadership team to, you know, work with the students and think, what are their greatest needs? What are the most important issues? And one focus they continue to advocate for is growing the support that we provide student organizations, both providing more funding, more support. And so for us, we'll continue to grow this as much as there is a desire for students to engage in these different student-led organizations. We see it as a fantastic opportunity for the students. I'm sure, Graham, you probably benefited in many ways from your work with Hawkapella. I think it gives students just great opportunities to experience leadership and to develop teamwork and also to contribute back to the community you're in.
I couldn't agree
Graham,
more.
Thank you for the call, and thank you again as well for helping to lead our efforts when you were with the Hawkapellas to raise some money for the group through our Give Campus crowdfunding platform. And by the way, you mentioned our good friend Larry Siegel. Larry is on the call tonight. He's listening, so I'm sure he appreciates your good words as well. Chancellor, we have a few people on the line from out of state that we'd like to connect you with. And while we do that, let me just remind you one last time, star 3 on your phone will allow you onto the line to make a comment and have a conversation with the Chancellor. And Udi Laska, it's good to hear your voice calling us from New York, class of 1975.
Hey, John. Chancellor Jackie. How are you?
We're doing fine. It's great to hear your voice. How are things in New York City?
It's a little rainy, but it's warm. So, you know. Anyway, so my question is that the name of the university is starting to propagate around the country. Over the last literally 3 months, I got calls from people who knew I went to UMass Lowell asking me how to contact the university to either transfer from an existing university or to apply. And I made the appropriate contacts. It's wonderful, wonderful deans and assistant deans you have. Yeah, it's wonderful. And
that's
we know
great.
A couple of them already applied. So how do
Fantastic.
You suggest, how do you suggest we continue expanding the name and the reputation of the university way beyond Massachusetts and New England?
Well, I think that is something that I'm going to ask all of our alumni to help with. You know, we've been going on the road quite a bit, as you know, Udi, and we've developed this great alumni network thing one across the country. We've been to Colorado. We're going to Arizona next month. Spent a lot of time in California, our friends in Texas, in the South Carolina, North Carolina. We have so many alumni across this country that have volunteered in New York City, a whole group of alums now that have regular monthly meetings. They meet. This is the way we feel we can most effectively build our national brand. But as you know, in your work with the College of Engineering, and thank you for your service as a member of their advisory board, Udi, for so many years, you have been there with us from the beginning of this transformation. I can't tell you how much it means to us. And I think that also we're doing a lot of national advertising, as you know. This is helping us not only to recruit students, but really importantly, to recruit the caliber and talented faculty that we want to have at the university. So it works on many levels. We're working hard at it, but honestly, all of the people on this phone call can help with by doing what you just did, championing and advocating for your alma mater. Thank you, Judy.
Chancellor, would you like to take a call from Longboat Key, Florida? Merry Christmas, Mary Jo and Frank.
Hey!
How
you guys Hello,
doing?
You
How
two.
How are you?
Well,
we
feel a lot
wonderful.
Better now, now that we hear your voices.
Oh, we miss you, Jackie and John. We wish you were here. We wanted
well,
to
we
wish,
wish
you
we were there, too.
We will be
we
soon
to-
enough.
I know, I know. We just wanted to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a wonderful holiday season, and it's so nice to hear your voices.
Yeah. I do have a legitimate question, though.
Why are we not surprised by that?
Is anything going on with a merger with the Independent Alumni Association?
That is a great question. Thank you, Frank. And first, let me thank both of you for all your support, not just your great generosity, which you two are unbelievable, but for your great passion for helping the students at the university. And I can't tell you what an inspiration you both are.
We love you, Maxwell, Jackie.
You're the best. And like I said, that's why we do these phone calls. It's a rainy, dreary day here in the Northeast, and we've had some challenges this week, but boy, you take these calls, like this one that we're having tonight, and I'm told that close to 300 people have signed up. Oh, now they're telling me 418 people have been on this call.
Oh, wow, fabulous.
So really, right? It does your heart good. And we're very excited that, Frank, the Independent Alumni Association, far along in our agreement, and I think that we're hoping to have something done this year. It looks really positive, and it's like joining the family back together.
Yeah, that's Frank, wonderful. They've been a great group to work with. They're getting ready to present their scholarships this coming year, and so we're anxious to continue to work with them. And Chancellor, while we're on the subject of being outside of the Massachusetts area, why don't we turn to Timothy Johnson, class of 1995 in Philadelphia.
Hello.
Hi, Timothy.
How you doing, Chancellor? I actually saw him at 94, but I actually finished in 1989. I'm the president. I'm the first African American president ever in the school's history, from 1988 to 1989, when it was still University of Lowell. We started. I'm proud to this day, and I still stay in contact with the school and come up every so often. We started a scholarship after the then living Paul Tsongas, which turned into the memorial. And
yes,
the 30th anniversary is coming up next year. And
wonderful.
I had tried about 10 years ago to try to, because of privacy, I wasn't able to get it done, to try to bring back the members of my executive committee, and hopefully the school would honor them for their good work. We had the largest, when I left as president, we had the largest attendance of any Graduate Student Association event ever in the school's history. And I came back, I heard you speaking to Yvette, I came back in 2006 as a guest speaker after coming out of Iraq a year before. I did two tours of duty in Iraq, 25 years as a soldier. And I'm a new entrepreneur starting out in real estate investment. So I hope to become successful, and I'll be giving – I already give money to the school every year in support of that scholarship that I started along with my executive board. So this is what I wanted you to know, that way back then, students were challenged by the late Paul Tsongas when he was alive to be more involved in the community. And
mm-hmm.
it was in the papers, yes, we take on his
mm-hmm.
challenge. And we
mm-hmm.
included the community, and it was a great night when I left office as president and passed the torch to an Asian young lady who took up the mantle. And to come back and speak to school in 2006 as a guest speaker was also an honor. So out of the colleges that I've been through, all the colleges I've been through, I'm from Philadelphia, Temple and Community College. I got more involved in UMass Lowell and Lowell when I ever. And to this day, like I said, I love hearing from you. This is my second time hearing you. I met Marty Meehan, and I also want to express to you my sadness. I seen online, because I always look these up online, of the passing of former President Hogan. I didn't get the word. I would have been up. I knew him very well. Aww. We had our battles when I was president. And I'm sorry that I wasn't able to make it to his funeral services. I didn't know about it until after he was buried.
Timothy, thank you so much for sharing all of that. What a remarkable story. And, you know, certainly Chancellor Hogan was somebody we all admire. He's a great mentor of mine, as was Paul Tsongas. And I'm very close with his wife, Nikki, who, of course,
I met her, too. I met Nikki.
Yeah, who followed Marty to the Congress. And, of course, she's just stepping down. So, you know, first of all, thank you for your service to the country. Thank you for coming back to UMass Lowell, for staying involved, for being a supporter of this important, very, very important scholarship fund. And I know that Paul Tsongas is looking down at all of us, taking great pride in the fact that we did take up his charge. I remember being here at that same time and him talking about how important it was to engage the university in the community. And it's something we really do a lot of at this time. We're deeply, deeply engaged here. And again, you have a remarkable story, and I really appreciate you sharing it and staying involved. We're very proud of you.
Chancellor, we have one last call before we wind down, right here from Lowell, and it's Kay Doyle. Kay, hello.
Okay. Hi, Chancellor Maloney. This is Kay Doyle from College of Sciences. I'm alumni.
Hi, Kay.
And a retired faculty member. I just wanted to, again, reiterate congratulations for the award that you got for the 100 Top Women, coming in number 4. And now that also that the Boston Business Journal is going to be recognizing you, I guess, in another week or two. Is that correct?
Thank you. Yes.
I just wanted to say that I really think that not only is this great for you personally, but it's wonderful for the university, because it helps to cement in the minds of the students and the alumni, as well as the general public, our government officials, and the granting agencies, what a great university this is to have the kind of competition for industry and for universities that we have here in Massachusetts, and that UMass Lowell is scoring so high. So that's great for you personally, and it's great for all of us. So thank you for your hard work.
Well, thank you, Kay, and thank you for everything that you did as a faculty member to elevate this university. Again, like Richard, dedicated years of service, always a great passion for our students. The program that you led in clinical sciences is certainly something that is now nationally recognized because of the work that you did in service as a faculty member and department chair and dean for a period of time over the College of Health. And, you know, it's very kind of you to mention my awards, but they are nothing compared to the fact I just saw recently, Kay, that you've been recognized by your professional society for a Lifetime Achievement Award. Congratulations to you. You're the kind of faculty member that exemplify what is great about our faculty. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. And Chancellor, we have been fortunate enough to have such great people on the line with us for over 45 minutes on this night. So would you like to share any closing comments with our friends online?
Again, I'll end where we began. It was hard to imagine it's just a year ago. And when we started these phone casts, to be honest with all of you, I really didn't know what to expect. But true to the UMass Lowell Riverhawks spirit, the dedication of our alumni and friends never ceases to amaze me. You are an incredible community, which I am personally extraordinarily grateful for. And I'm also grateful to the entire team here that I have at UMass Lowell. And finally, just to thank you for supporting these students who are so hardworking. As we sit here on the phone, I have the privilege of looking out my window and seeing hundreds of students crossing that bridge back and forth, back to what some of you remember as Lowell Tech, going over to Lowell State, doing their studies. They're all working hard. If you could see them here in University Crossing, loaded down with books, with that tired, exhausted look, but they still have that great can-do spirit that all of us had when we came through these great halls. And again, I just can't thank you enough for your support and want to wish you a very peaceful holiday season. Thank you all for being here.
Chancellor, thank you so much for your time, and to all of you on the phone, thank you not just for joining us tonight, but for being true blue, for being such loyal supporters of our great university. And let me echo what the Chancellor said. Please have a wonderful and a peaceful holiday season, and go Riverhawks.